from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
What in the world happened? I go to Vegas, the weather was 95 degrees, it was great, and this morning I travel into work, and did I see 30-something degrees? Are you kidding me? I felt like my car wasn't going to start. It is G. Scott of the G and Ursula Show. This morning, Ursula is still away. As you guys know, her youngest son, Eric, graduated from college. But don't you guys worry. One of my favorite people in the world to co-host with me today, Travis Mayfield. Travis, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I felt like I had to scrape my windshield this morning.
Right.
What is this? It's almost June, and here we are, so cold out there.
Okay, now I ask a question. I was going to ask this to you off the air,
yeah,
but I think that this question needs to be asked,
okay,
on the air.
All right.
Because I keep it a buck with my G and Ursula Show listeners.
Yeah.
What made you decide to wear that sweater? That sweater is amazing. Talk about it. Explain it. What made you wear that is so colorful and patterned? You got to make sure you tweet a picture of that out today because the listeners are going to want to see it. But what was the decision that went behind that today?
I needed something colorful this morning, something to brighten my day because it is gray and cold out there. So I love a good sweater vest there in this season. And this is the one. And also, I will say this is from Nordstrom's new gender neutral line,
okay,
which I love. I love this idea of, like, do whatever, wear whatever. You want to wear that skirt, dude? You can wear one. You want to wear those pearls, dude? I'm wearing my pearls on my wrist at this moment. Go and do it, you know?
Let me tell you something. So, first of all, I would rock that sweater.
You would.
Yes,
you
I would.
Would.
That's number one. Number two, speaking of pearls, right?
Yeah.
First round draft pick by the Seattle Seahawks,
uh-huh,
when I interviewed him.
Yeah.
He had some pearls.
Oh! Love it. Love
they
it.
Look good. Love all right. Good morning to you, Chef. Good to see you, buddy. Coming up on the show, usually Ursula lets you guys know what's going on this hour, but I'll tell you this at 9:47. We need to talk about how the young workers aren't keeping their salaries a secret anymore. And coming up at 9:30 after Heather's newscast, we are going to tell you about if and when America really wants real news on cable. We'll explain that next, but right now, let's give the people what they want. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
This morning's top story, pilots at Alaska Airlines officially moving toward a possible strike. Union leaders unanimously agreeing to begin balloting pilots on whether to strike or not. Pilots now voting as of today through May 25th. Negotiations between the airline and the union, they really have centered around pay, training, and hiring of new pilots. Alaska passengers, though, have been dealing with widespread canceled flights for much of the spring. Fox 13 actually talked to passengers stranded by flight cancellations who eventually did make it back to SeaTac.
They sent me an email like at 1:54 a.m. in the morning.
Rich Voulier made it home on Sunday, a day late after learning while checking in that his flight no longer existed, stranding him and his wife in Hawaii.
So three flight changes in the course of one trip, you know. So I'm not sure what we're equating that to, maybe labor shortages or something, but they never really told me why. It was just pushed back.
You can strand me in Hawaii anytime you want to. By the way, we checked. You did this morning. How many flights canceled this morning?
There was 26 this morning at SeaTac.
Yeah.
Cancellation. I want to be clear on a couple of things, and I'll tell you guys personally how this story impacts me. In Alaska Airlines, we talked about this. We talked about this before I head to Vegas.
Yeah.
I asked you nicely not to make sure anything happened with my plane.
Uh-oh.
But before I get to that personal story, let me just say this. You're not these aren't just cancellations.
Yeah.
You're canceling weddings. You're canceling funerals.
Yeah.
You are canceling an opportunity for someone to see their loved one. You tried to cancel Mother's Day for me yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Now, let me explain something. Already, I was kind of could have been in the doghouse for going to Vegas during that time, but I had a plan to make sure I was back home for Mother's Day. Also, I made sure Lillian got her gift on Sunday morning. She woke up to it and found she had her Mother's Day gift. But here's the problem. I get an email, a message from Alaska Airlines telling me that my Sunday flight going back to Seattle was going to be canceled. Now, listen, I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I have to get home.
Yeah.
No, there is no, but
right,
you can stay to tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll give you credit. No, there's no amount of money that's going to have Lillian forgetting the fact that I didn't make it home, even though it wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
So I said, Travis, just get me as close to Seattle
Where
as possible.
Where did you fly?
Flew into Portland.
Oh.
I flew into Portland and got and made it home.
And then flapped your wings.
Flapped my wings, walked, hitchhiked.
Right.
You know, washed a couple dishes and made it by 4 p.m. on Sunday yesterday. But here's the problem, though. Alaska, what are we going to do? So now you got the pilots. And look, I'm not faulting the pilots.
Yeah.
You know, they want to fight for their money, and that here pretty soon they're going to be striking. Possibly. Are you going to keep doing this to the people? You're already talking about that there's a good chance that 2% of the flights are going to be canceled coming up in June. People can't do this.
No.
People have obligations and places to be. You can't get this time back. What's the fix, Travis? What is the fix to this? They cannot continue to do this to people.
Agreed. And I said this the last time I was here with you 3 weeks ago.
You did.
I mean, honestly, it's pay your pilots. Like, I mean, I get that there's a pilot shortage. I get that there's all these other things. But right now, the thing that the airline can do is agree to pay the pilots what they want. We've talked about it. Your profits are up.
Yeah.
We know that airfare is price. I'm paying it. You paid it when you went to Vegas. Prices are up. So, look, you have the money. You can do it. And then we can talk about the long-term fixes of hiring more pilots, figuring out where they're going to come from, you know, those kind of things. But right now, the airline, please, just pay your pilots.
Have you heard about my divorce rate?
Oh.
Yeah, it's not good. And so I'm trying to, as I get older, keep these relationships. And I'm basically married to Alaska Airlines.
Oh.
Okay? Watch Chef. I know. I'm basically married to them. I am part of their, you know, their little big packages and all that kind of stuff. So I can't just walk
big
away.
Packages? What's a big package?
Well, you know, the elite status. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Where you get all the perks. You get, you know, you get the chocolates and all the wine. But I can't leave them right away, right? I built up all of this, so you don't just leave relationships. That's been my problem in the past.
That's called a sunk cost fallacy, G. And you know what? You're like, I'm special on this airline. I need to retain my special status. I can't cheat on you because you still love me, right?
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 Oh, I don't know how this game. This should not have been a good news, laughable topic because this is very serious. Let's see what's up with number two.
All right. The second top story we are tracking this morning. The case of the mayor's missing text messages.
Mm.
Finally over, at least legally.
The city has agreed to pay the Seattle Times $200,000 in the lawsuit the paper brought in connection with the missing texts of Durkins, former SPD Chief Carmen Best, and other local leaders during the 2020 protests in the Chop Zone. Records show Durkin revealed during a deposition that she had dropped her phone in a small tide pool on that 4th of July, the same day that a forensic analysis had found an iCloud setting was changed to automatically delete texts. While Durkin said she did not recall changing that setting, she admitted she was the only one to handle the phone that day. The same analysis revealed Best had routinely deleted her text messages, which under the Public Records Act are required to be retained for 2 years. Hannah Scott, Cairo News Radio.
On top of that $200,000 settlement, the city also agreeing to speed up the process of getting journalists public records when requested.
Y'all just gonna keep peeing on our legs and telling us that it's rain, huh? That's exactly what happens in this situation. Let me start off with the former mayor, Jenny Durkin. You lied. You flat out lied. You know that, right? You know that. Do you know what it really takes to go inside of your phone, to go into the iCloud settings and set it up to delete?
Yeah, you just drop it in a tide pool puddle, right?
No, it does not work. I mean, this is 2022. These cell phone excuses, as someone who is the master of them, are outdated, right? But unfortunately, here's why you listening, this is why it should matter to all of you. Why? Because it's taxpayers that's going to have to pay.
Yeah.
It is the taxpayers that are going to have to pay the $200,000 to basically settle with the Seattle Times. And under the terms, according to this article, under the terms of the settlement, the city denies any liability for the way it managed public records requests for the Times reporters. Quote, the city is pleased that it was able to resolve the public records case brought against by the Seattle Times. This according to the Seattle city spokesperson, Anthony Derrick, he said in a statement. He added that the city shares the common goal of improving governmental transparency and conserving taxpayer resources. That's another lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, stop it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and let you speak because I can go ham on this topic What is your thoughts on this, the fact that we, the taxpayers, have to pay for that?
Look, I'm a journalist. I've been a journalist in this state for 20 years. The last thing I want to do is have to sue some government agency to get these texts that are public record. They are due you listening at home. You get to read the mayor's texts. That is the law. And the fact that a journalist couldn't get them because of some tide pool snafu and then has to sue to get it, and a judge is like, yep, now $200,000, so here, me, taxpayer slash journalist, I have to pay for this $200,000 because that's where it's coming out of. And B, it took me this long to get an answer about what the mayor was texting about when I should have known it the day that I asked for it.
So basically, the city of Seattle is paying $200,000 for we, the people, to not know what was said.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you guys are, if everybody's okay with that, and that's just the price of doing business in 2000, now we're in 2022, and now we understand what's going on sometime with Russia and how their propaganda,
right.
Could you imagine the media suing them, the government?
Oh, right, yeah.
For their records?
And then they got their heads cut off.
You know it. But here in the United States of America, yeah, the common goal is transparency, but basically, we didn't want you to see this information, so we're going to pay $200,000 for you never to have seen it.
Yeah, you got it. All right, to our next top story. Outrage continuing to grow over Seattle schools' plan to change start times. Apparently, district officials had wanted schools to begin at 7:40 a.m., 8:30 a.m., and 9:30 a.m., depending on which school it was in the district. This would start next year. Now, these three different start times would allow the same bus drivers to basically cycle back through, you know, drive a route 7:40, come back, drive a route at 9:30. This would help alleviate some of the driver shortages we've been experiencing. Parents, though, say the staggered bell times are a hardship for a lot of families trying to get to work, trying to get to school. The school board, by the way, has delayed a vote on those new bell times. No new date has been set for a vote, so they're still up in the air.
Some of y'all are going to be mad at me.
Yeah, I'm already mad. I know where you're headed.
I don't see the problem. I don't see the problem in this. Oh, by the way, make sure, Travis, when you get mad at me about this topic, make sure you let me know how much folks have to pay for their kids to get to school on the school bus. We'll get to that in a second. What else are they going to do?
Yeah.
Right now, they have a choice. They can make this choice right here, or they can make the other choice, which would be pay these school bus drivers and let them get paid more money.
No, we could never do that.
I'm just saying. But this whole, the staggered times. Now, I will say the only thing, Travis, that I will agree with you to be upset with is the timing of finding this information out, knowing, according to what they're saying, that there's a possibility they knew about some of this back last fall.
Yes.
But the staggered times, right, of 7:40, 8:30, and 9:30, what else are they going to do, right? They're trying to give a savings to the school district, which would be $5 million, and it would help out and alleviate the issues. Because I tell you what you don't want. What you don't want is the school year to start, and then Johnny or little Sally is not getting picked up because they're missing, the school bus is missing.
Yeah. But so, on the flip side is this.
Okay,
so like this, I think this falls on the communities and the families that already can't afford it as it is. So there was an example in the Seattle Times story about this, about a family has one car. They can't afford a second car, but they have to get between a 7:40 drop off, a 9:30 drop off, and both parents have to get to different places where they work. And they basically say to make that work, they're going to have to figure out a way to buy a second car. And so here it is. The school district is basically saying to this family, we can't help you. This is the only thing we can do. You have to buy a second car. Now, guess who this doesn't impact? I'm annoyed by it, but other than getting to sit here and play radio with you occasionally, I'm a stay-at-home dad. So guess what I get to do? Because of our economic circumstances, I can do that.
I
can walk my kid to school at 7:40 and then take my other kid to school at 9:30 if I need
to. Do you think I was a little harsh in my opinion?
Maybe. But I love you anyway.
Yeah. I could have been. But considering, like, let's be real, you can't make everybody happy.
True, absolutely.
Right? Yep. So if you leave things the same, hear me out.
And
you say, okay, you know what, Travis, we hear you. We don't want to mess with the start times. And then we go into the school year, and then all of a sudden some folks are being picked up. Now what do you want them to do?
I'm old enough to remember when school buses were provided for everything. You know, field trips, activities,
yeah.
sports.
Yeah.
Your band got to go to band camp.
Oh, yeah.
School bus there.
yeah,
that
yeah.
doesn't exist. So, hey, we'll see how far this goes.
Yeah. Did you used to go to band camp, bro?
I did not personally go to band camp. Hmm. I went to wrestling camp.
Oh. Did you have some fun?
Yeah. It was amazing.
Something tells me you'd have more fun at band camp than wrestling camp.
I've seen I that do not movie. Know what you speak of.
I've seen that movie.
Travis Mayfield is hanging out with us today. We appreciate him so much.
Thanks.
Coming up next, this topic right here, this might be another opportunity for me to get folks riled up. They say CNN has a problem. Does America really want real news on cable television? We discuss that next. Gene Ursula with Travis Mayfield.
The Cairo Radio Text Line is brought to you by State Roofing.
At the dinner table, you're not supposed to talk about politics and religion. And at work, you're not supposed to talk about your salary. Well, that's starting to change, because coming up next, we will tell you why it seems to be a good idea for folks to start talking about their salary there at work. Travis Mayfield in for Ursula. Do Americans really want to hear actual news on cable TV, or are they tuning in for something else? That's the question posed by The Hill after CNN has vowed to get back to the basics. CNN has a new CEO, and in an internal memo, he sent this out to all of his staff last week. Chris Licht writes, quote, "Too many people have lost trust in the news media," stating that the best way to recover trust to get back to educating viewers and readers with straightforward facts and insightful commentary while always being respectful of differing viewpoints. So my question to our amazing listeners that are listening right now, and of course to you, Travis, and by the way, our text line is 888-973-CHIRO. The question is this, Travis. Is this what people really want from cable news? This type of platform where you're just getting the news?
So I've been in the news business for 25 years. I have heard every consultant imaginable make every argument for every kind of news there is. Mm. What I unfortunately hear more and more and more is viewers say they want hard news. They want breaking news. Okay. They want just the facts.
Okay.
But what they actually mean is they want hard news, breaking news, just the facts that support their pre-existing world view. So if you try to do straight down the line news
okay.
at a national network level, people don't pay attention. Unfortunately. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing that, but going this direction isn't actually what the audience, despite what they say they want, isn't what they actually want.
When I hear this, just by the way, I want to warn you, Chef's used to it. Ursula's used to it. The way I look at things in the world, the way I consume news, I have to visualize it and picture and relate it to something so I can really understand.
I like it.
That's how I do things.
Good.
When I hear this, it makes the first thing I think is, okay, we don't need churches because you have Bibles.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to go and fellowship and be around other people and listen to the word and maybe an interpretation of what that scripture means. You don't need any of those things. You just go with straight Bible. I bring that to news.
Yeah.
You can just grab your cell phone and you can just get all the news that you want. You hear every piece of news in sports on the little, down at the bottom, the little teleprompter right there. All the news, all the scores, everything, baseball, basketball, football, world, Kentucky Derby, all that stuff. You don't need anything else. But the truth is you do. The truth is that when you get this news, what does that mean? So for an example, one of the things that we talked about in the news earlier this morning, in the beginning of the 9 o'clock hour, we talked about how the city of Seattle is paying the Seattle Times $200,000 for the text messages that went away on the phones of Jenny Durkin, and the old mayor, and the police chief at the time, Carmen Best.
Yeah.
So you could see that And you could be like, oh, okay. But don't you really want to hear what somebody has to say about it? Now, I wouldn't suggest me, because I, the way I said it, I just said, here we go again, y'all peeing on people's legs and trying to tell folks it's raining. But basically, you just tried to really hide those things.
Yeah.
But again, back to the news, it's, wow, you've been in it 25 years.
I know, I'm old.
So, okay, so now you've given me the view. You've heard and dealt with a lot of consultants.
Yeah.
You have a lot of friends that have been in this business.
Yeah.
So I'll say back to you and ask this. What are some of your friends that are in media? Where do they see the direction of media going in the future?
I mean, that's what the million-dollar question is. What do we do? Because we're tribalized in this country. We only want to hear things that support our existing worldview. It's why, love it or hate it, Fox News is the dominant cable channel, because they feed their audience exactly what they want to hear. It reinforces exactly what they already believe. That doesn't make for a better democracy. That doesn't make for better news. That doesn't make us better humans. But that is what we watch. So I liked what you said, though. You had a good food analogy that just made me feel like, yeah, that's exactly the right answer for moving forward.
Another answer to moving forward is I look at the history of media, right?
Yeah.
Let's take Cairo Radio right here. So for 85 years, during prime time, during day parts, you never had one person of color on the radio. Not one. So sometimes, maybe someone that is delivering and or talking about the news can maybe start to look like others that are in our country, that represent those in our country. By the way, shout out to Cairo Radio for fixing that problem and actually making a change.
Yeah.
And what do you know? Voila, you have differing viewpoints based upon maybe where you grew up, life's experiences, those things. But I do agree with, and no matter what side of you, if you're right, left, this is where we are today. Music, right? You jump in a car or you're at home, you listen to the music that you want to listen to. Whereas when we were younger, we had to listen to everybody's music before we got to our song, which is why Gen X is the best generation.
Amen to that. I mean, that's exactly right. We're losing the being exposed to things and discovering new things, whether it's new facts that we didn't know, new perspectives that we didn't know. So as a journalist and as a supporter of our democracy, I want something like what CNN is proposing to succeed. But I just don't think that there is in today's world an audience for it, and that makes me sad.
Go ahead.
I think part of the problem too is that the well has been so poisoned by other side.
Yes,
that unless you have a new media platform that comes out with totally different branding, and let's be clear, like the only ones that have actually come out and splashed a little bit were Newsmax and OAN in the past couple of years, and they were wildly partisan. But we have like a straight news organization. It's been there forever. PBS NewsHour. Nobody watches it, right? I think you're gonna see people going more towards local content,
yes,
podcasts, live streams, etc. And I don't think that CNN or Fox can ever rebrand themselves, because in the minds of half of America, both news organizations are not actually news. They squeeze some news in there with a little, you know, their pervasive commentary, but you'll never see a national network like CNN be trusted by a Fox watcher, and likewise.
I think you're right, Chef. I think local, right? Local really matters. I believe local is number one. I mean, you can sit here and you can pay attention to what's going on Fox or MSNBC or CNN, but let's be real. They're not going to be talking about your community. They're not going to be talking about, I mean, your community, your church, your school, where you work, where you shop, all of those things. They don't know about that little corner store that got the bomb chicken wings. I don't know why I'm thinking about chicken, but that's what happened in this situation. As we get ready to get out of here, I was another question I had for you, because right when you brought up that you've been in this game for 25 years and you've met with and talked to a lot of consultants, I want to ask you this question right here. But I don't want you to answer it now until we come back from break. During that time, was there ever a time that any of these consultants maybe suggested that you should not talk about being part of the LGBTQ community? I don't know if you're comfortable sharing that, but this is the kind of radio.
I have an answer for you.
This is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about that part. So I'm going to ask that again to Travis Mayfield next, and you guys will hear the answer next. Gene Ursula with Travis. Good morning, everybody. It is the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Patrick Malone from the Seattle Times will come on to talk about how the Tacoma Police Department handles internal complaints of racism. That happens after Heather's newscast at 10:06. Travis Mayfield is in for Ursula, and I always love when Travis is
in. Thank you.
But we need to talk, and this question stems from you telling us that you have been in the media game for 25 years. Yeah. And during that time, you've met for, all that kind of stuff, with media consultants.
Yeah.
You've had bosses and news directors and all those things. So, which it made me think to myself, I said, self, I got to ask you this. So here's my question. During your 25 years in being around news directors and program directors and consultants, was there ever a time where they wanted you maybe to do a better job concealing you being part of the LGBTQ community?
So I've been out since I was in college, which was the mid-90s. I started in this business out in Missoula, Montana.
Okay.
My very first job, the GM there, the general manager, the big boss, called me into his office, told me I was too gay to be on TV, took me off the air. I had to sit in the news director's office and practice not talking with my hands, literally sit on my hands so that I wasn't waving them around or being too gay, I guess, flapping my hands. I had to take voice lessons, and I say that in quotes because what I did was I sat in the news director's office while he would make me talk like this, like I had to like deepen my voice and practice talking like this. So the next time they let me back on the air several months later, I had to talk like this and sit on my hands, which is the opposite of me. I'm none of those things. That was my first job 25 years ago. Since then, I have had a news director was covering the gay marriage debate in Spokane a number of years ago when that was before the state Supreme Court. And who knows the gay community in Spokane other than like a gay dude? And I grew up in a fundamentalist Christian home, so who knows that side of the story? Me. I was covering it. Got called into the news director's office, told, you can't be unbiased on this story because you're gay. Took me off the stories. I was like, are you joking? What about the reporter who had the murder in his neighborhood? How can he be unbiased about the crime story he's covering or any number of other issues? I mean, as recently as the last 2 years, I had a news director who told me to be concerned or to think about my tone, which, if you know anything, that is code for don't be too gay on the air, and to be worried about, what people in rural areas think of me, which is totally stereotyping. Like, I grew up in a rural area. They love me. I love them. Why are you putting some sort of bigotry on someone who lives in a rural area? But all of that was coded for don't be so gay on TV.
That's interesting you said that. I like what you just said about the rural areas. So for an example, let's say I have an auction, right? And I might have to go to Centralia or I might have to go to Ellingsburg or anytime I might have to go somewhere, it's, ooh, you better be careful.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? At least for me, I can't speak for anybody else.
Yep.
For me, I get love.
Same.
Right?
Same.
I went to school in the rural
me too.
Town.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
So you're right. There is this automatic opinion of those that live in these rural areas as if everybody around there is racist.
Yeah.
Everybody's a bigot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not true.
No.
Because no lie, there's racist people that lives in the city.
Absolutely.
In the heart of the city.
Absolutely.
There's racist people that claim, well, I'm as progressive as they come.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, some of those people telling you those things, they were liberal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of those news directors, absolutely, behind the scenes was super liberal. And I was like, are you joking? Like, are you joking?
Were you being serious about the voice lessons, though?
No. Yes.
Like, seriously.
No, that is me not exaggerating at all. Like, I had to deepen my... Like, It felt so fake. I actually, at one point, packed up everything, because I'd been in the business for a year. I was living in Montana by myself. Like, packed up everything I had, put it in the trunk of my car, and the next morning I was just going to drive home and live in my parents' basement, because I was like, if I can't be myself on the air, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I woke up the next day, and luckily I had a good friend who was like, don't let them win. Don't let them win. And so I've just always repeated her words in my mind, and I'm just myself on the air.
First of all, Travis, thank you for sharing that. And it reminds me that even until 2 years ago, you know, there were news directors in mainstream newsrooms across America that were telling reporters of color, no, you can't cover this George Floyd protest.
Absolutely.
Because you can't see this.
Yes.
with an unbiased eye, and you're too close to this situation because you share the same skin color.
Yes.
As the victim in the story, which is just insane. Here's what I would say to the news directors of America. Your audience can handle a lot more than you can.
Come on.
It is the listeners and the viewers, the most vocal and outrageous ones, that you are terrified of. And you are terrified of serving them up something that might actually challenge them. And it's you that is terrified of making that choice. And you, as a news director, are like the kid who's scared of swearing in front of their mom because they think their mom has never heard it before. Guess what? Mom's heard it all. And so has America. So go ahead and serve that stuff up, because people can handle it. And it makes for a better society as a result.
Amen.
Travis, I love asking you questions,
man. You didn't know,
man,
what you were getting into.
No, I did not know that all of that was coming. And I'm really tripping out about the voice lessons. But then again, who knows? Just 4 years ago, I was asked, when I talked about the plane being stolen, to give my urban perspective
no.
on that. Yes, I did.
No.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, Patrick Malone from the Seattle Times on how the Tacoma Police Department handles internal complaints of racism. It's Gian Ursula with Travis.